You're listening to the Sketchnote Army Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rohde, the author of the Sketchnote Handbook and the Sketchnote Workbook, and this is the podcast where I chat with sketchnoters and visual thinkers and try to understand what makes them tick. This episode of the Sketchnote Army Podcast is brought to you by Concepts, an infinite canvas sketching app built for tablets with a stylus, like the iPad Pro, Microsoft Surface, and Samsung Galaxy Tab. Concepts' infinite canvas lets you spread out and sketch in any direction. Draw and take notes with liquid pens, markers, and brushes in your favorite Copic designer colors. Everything you draw in Concepts is a flexible vector, so you can move your notes around the canvas or change their color, tool, or size with a simple gesture. Drag and drop images onto the canvas and use layers and grids to organize your creative space. When you're ready to share, export straight to your friends or team. Search Concepts in your favorite app store for infinite, flexible sketching. In this episode, hear from An Bui, a graphic recorder and illustrator who lives and works independently in Germany. Hear An's story of discovering graphic recording and how a wise manager graciously facilitated the opportunity for her to develop skills as a graphic recorder. This is a good one. Hey everyone, welcome. I'm here with An Bui. An, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
You're someone who I've seen your work on Instagram mainly, but I'm sure you probably post in other places. I've really been impressed with your work on Instagram and thought you were just a really interesting voice who I wanted to have on the show to speak to us and learn a little bit more about you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, An?
All right. Thank you so much for your introduction. My name is An, and I'm currently a graphic recorder and illustrator. My field of work is quite diverse. So I do both live recordings as well as infographics, illustrations, and as well as a lot of ads for marketing purposes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like you have a broad skill set that you can use in many ways, which is great to hear.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to have because, you know, if you focus too much on one thing, if that thing isn't in need, then you might be waiting around for projects. So it sounds like you're using your skills in good ways. That's great to hear.
Yeah, at the beginning, I found it would be important to specialize or to focus on something. Mm-hmm. But during the time, I realized that visual storytelling or graphic recording is already very unique.
And it stands out a little bit. Interesting.
So the tool is already unique, so you don't have to find a field for yourself.
Interesting. So I'm very curious always with guests to hear their origin story. So where did you come from? How did you end up in this place where you're doing graphic recording and illustration and infographics and such? Were you always doing this? Did you come from another interesting place? I would love to hear that story from the beginning.
All right. So I have never studied illustration or design. And since my school days, I always wanted to contribute to society by improving working standards. And for this purpose, I studied business psychology and business consulting. So I'm actually, I'm a business psychologist.
Really?
Yeah. And during this time, I specialized on human resources and gained a lot of insights into coaching, change management, and HR in general. And I really have to admit that during this time, I was just obsessed with visualizations. So my favorite part of the job was to draw on flip charts. Or like doing visualization work for workshops or building PowerPoint presentations. And in my childhood, I loved to read comics and I also loved to draw comics, but I stopped to draw at the age of 14 because my parents taught me that it would never bring any money. But at my second internship at Axel Springer in Berlin, my former manager came to me and said, you should become a graphic recorder. And I didn't know what a graphic recorder was. So After doing my research, I was really amazed by this job, and I was obsessed by the idea to become a graphic recorder, which I did next to my job. So I did several other jobs in the field of HR and marketing, and during the pandemic, so last year, I decided to go all in.
Wow. So I have to ask you, what do your parents think now when they said when you were 14, oh, you can't make a living from this thing, and now you are? Do you get to say, like, Mom and Dad, look what I'm doing?
My history, or like my story, is influenced by a lot of, is very influenced by my culture. So I have Vietnamese parents. Okay. And for my Vietnamese parents, very important to have money, have security. Often they ask me if I make money and I have enough money and I have enough to eat. But I guess that they already realized that this is what I love to do, and that I'm secure, and everything is all right now.
That's good. Well, I guess every parent is like that, right? I have kids and I want them to be successful. I guess that's a mom and dad thing. And, you know, I can imagine most parents, like my father, when I wanted to be a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Or be an artist. I didn't know what to call it back then, because I didn't know, like you, what this field was. And neither did my father, right? So he said, well, his idea was always the starving artist, right? Eating, you know, some cheap noodles or something and just barely surviving, right? So that was his idea of what this was. He had no concept that that people design things all the time.
And yeah, so, true.
You know, once he understood that, then he was very proud and saw that, you know, of course, that makes sense for Mike because it fits him. So I suspect the same for your parents, too, as you educate them. And, hey, look, here's what I do. And I think often when we shift in these creative spaces, it's really hard, to describe to your parents what I do. Sometimes it's easier to show them, right, than to just try and describe it, because, you know, they can't relate to you're drawing pictures and they're paying you for this, like
yeah absolutely. Like, my parents just know two jobs, being a doctor or a lawyer,
right
and that's the end. But like, would you like your children to become graphic recorders? Would it be fine for you?
Yeah, I think that would be great. I think you know, they see the work that I do, and they're quite good at drawing too. I don't know if that will be the case, but they know that, you know, I've written books and do this teaching and all this stuff. So I would be more than happy to see them do that. I don't know if that will be the case, but I have the advantage to know, like, what can be done, because I'm now in the space, just like you with your kids. When that time comes, you would understand a little more of, you know, what could be done, right? So that helps us. You know, our parents' generation maybe didn't have quite the understanding of what was possible. Not that they just didn't have that experience, right? So the other thing that I wanted to mention was your manager. You must have had a really great manager who spotted your talent. So the sign of a bad manager would be, oh, An has this thing and I don't like that she's doing it. It's threatening me. An, stop doing that drawing and focus on your work, right? That would be a bad manager would say that. But a good manager says, ooh, she is very talented in this space. I'll give her an opportunity to grow and show her skills. And now I've got another resource that, you know, I can give her to do these things that I need to have done. And maybe he doesn't have to then hire it out to someone else. He's got An who can do this thing. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, congratulations for your manager to be strong enough to advise you to do this thing, give you the opportunity, because it would have been easy for him or her to say, stop that, right? That could have been an option too. So I'm glad to hear that you were encouraged in this in your work. So congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it was kind of a key moment, since she really fostered my curiosity. And I'm really thankful for it.
That's really great. And so tell us a little bit about, you say you've gone all in. So I would assume that means you're independent, you're working for yourself, or, you know, and you have clients that you work with. What is the kind of work, if you were to describe, you sort of gave us an overview in the beginning, give us some examples of things you're allowed to share about work kind of projects you're doing that would give us a sense of, like, what are the things that you work on?
All right, so all in all, I guess, as I've already said, it's quite diverse, but to put it into a nutshell, I translate complex ideas into creative pictures. And for example, I did an analog graphic recording live event last week. I finished a book recently with about more than 50 illustrations. And currently I'm working on a lot of ads and infographics because it's quite interesting to see that only a few people, only a few companies use graphic recording in the field of marketing. So it's working quite good as ads.
Interesting. That, again, that's someone being innovative, right? Using this tool in a different way than maybe it was intended or typically is used, right? So that's really great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's performing quite well.
And so do you find that having this variety of skills keeps you busy during the day? Do you have enough time in the day to do everything that you that you list as your skills?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm even afraid that I didn't have a lot of time for myself. And there was a time during the pandemic where I lost my, where I lost a little bit to have fun doing drawing because it became just work. And it was, a big challenge for me to get back all the fun and inspiration.
I can relate to that. The same thing happened to me. I, during the pandemic, you know, I did a lot of effort in learning to teach with Zoom and other things, and that I enjoyed. But I just started accepting lots of side projects, and it just got to be where I just had this stack of work, and it felt like, oh, I've got to do this again. And that's the that's like the worst thing when you know that you love doing it. Once I began, I was fine and I enjoyed it. But like, just to think about doing it was like, oh, I have to do this. You know, and it would take all, it was like pushing a freight train forward by myself and getting it moving. And fortunately, I was able to reduce the kind of work that I've been doing and saying no more to things. And, or find, you know, my, the thing I like best is if I get a request in for something, is to know, oh, Ann is really good at that. You should talk to her, or John should do this thing. Or, you know, I do the things that I like and then pass off the things to good people so that, not, you know, it's not just turning it down, but it's then giving someone else an opportunity. That's, that feels better.
Yeah, absolutely. You should be aware of what you really love to do. And I guess that the pandemic was an extreme boost for all people that are working, that was working in a digital field.
Yes. And I think it even encouraged, you know, talking with some other guests on the show, people who were doing analog things, analog graphic recording only, were suddenly forced because of the nature of pandemic, right? You can't be with people. You can't stand in the front of the room with a board anymore, right? Like, so they had to come up with creative solutions. In many cases, that was digital, learning digital tools. And, you know, some of the people who did seem to do the best were already kind of experimenting with the digital tools already. And then they just sort of jumped all the way in and started to figure out how they worked. So it was definitely tough for many. Like I just talked to Eleanor Beer, who's in Wales, and she talked about within a matter of, I don't know, a week or two, all her in-person projects suddenly were gone and she had to replace that, right? And she switched to digital. And fortunately, she was trained as an illustrator and had these tools and was able to get a system working. But, you know, it was quite challenging. And I'm sure for many other companies and people, it was the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's just really important to be aware that you should fall in love with progress and the process.
Yes.
And rather than the goal to like to have clients or to get work, it's really, really important to love your work.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point. Thank you for stating that. Good reminder for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Really enjoy the process. Because in a lot of cases, you can't control the output. You might do beautiful work, and maybe that thing gets put in a file and never used, right? It's possible. That's happened to me
before. Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to be content with, I did really good work. I worked with really good people. We worked together. Like, I see the value in it. I saw the work, and that's good enough, right? And then if it gets moves to the next level, that's just, you know, something in addition.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So you mentioned pandemic and that you sort of took on lots of work and you lost the fun of work. What were some of the things that you did to bring back the fun? And what are some of the things you have done or are doing in the pandemic to kind of stay positive, or some things that just give you a rest from the pandemic seemingly never leaving, right?
I guess that the pandemic was an extraordinary time where you had a lot of time to reflect and to focus on yourself. So I meditated a lot. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of time to read books. Mm-hmm. I guess it's really important to, as it was a great time to reflect on your life and what you really love to do, and to focus on other areas which you really like.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. That's really good. So let's shift a little bit now. I want to shift to the tools that you like to use. It sounds like maybe you do both analog and digital. If that's mm-hmm. true, then let's begin with analog and tell me what are some books or pens or pencils or any analog tools that you like, and then we can switch to what are the digital tools that you're using and that you like to use.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, I have to admit that I mainly work digital.
That's okay.
But my favorite analog tool is I really love to use the pens from Neuland.
Newland. Of
I guess we markers are the best markers on the market in Germany. But like for sketch notes, I also love the Staedtler pigment mm-hmm. liner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very popular too. Yeah.
Yeah. And my favorite digital tools for pixel graphics are Procreate. Mm-hmm. And for vector based work, it's Concepts.
Oh, yeah. Concepts is a great tool, often forgotten, with Procreate being very popular and powerful. If you need vectors, I've used it myself, and I've told this story before. I had a project where I was doing illustration work, and I did the first pass, and it was in ink. They wanted it to look like a blueprint or something, and so I used the ink tip and drew all these elements that they wanted, and the customer, through my connection, said, "Oh, it looks too finished. Can you make it look like pencil?" I was like, "Oh, now what do I do?" And fortunately, I did it in Concepts. So what I did is I said, "Well, I could redraw it, which maybe is a solution, but maybe what I'll first do is just an experiment. I'll take a section and I'll select it because it's vector, and I'll see if I can just switch it to the pencil tool." And it worked, and the pencil tool worked. So then I found the right, you know, with some trial and error, I found the right, you know, pencil tool and thickness and color and all those things that would make it a pretty good starting place. And so I just went through piece by piece and individually by section, switched them over to pencil, and it was pretty good. And then I went back in and did some tweaking and like adjusted sizing and added some things and submitted it, and the client loved it. It was exactly what they wanted. And I suspect, you know, it took me, I don't know, maybe an hour or something to convert all these concept vectors into pencil. But I couldn't, like, imagining, like, redrawing all that work would have easily been half a day. Cutting it by 3/4 of the time simply by having vectors was huge. And then, of course, I was able to export it to Adobe Illustrator, which is what the production person I was working with needed, so they could, because they were making a big sign from it, right? So it worked really well in that case, and I've used it on occasion. Are some of the work that you're doing, is there some work that tends to favor Concepts over other tools? What would be work you would do that's maybe vector based?
I guess it's mostly infographics or like really big complex work or works which need to be scaled in a really big picture. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That's really great. And what size iPad Pro are you using with Procreate and Concepts? Is there a size, the 12.9 or the 11-inch, the smaller one that you like?
It's an 11-inch since it's more flexible.
Yeah. That's the same for me. I like having, mainly I bought it for travel when we used to do things like traveling. To be able to put it in my bag, right? It was easy, small. But there are times when I look at people with the 12.9 and think, oh, I wish I had that bigger screen. Yeah. That would be kind of nice. So I've yeah. considered it, but still have stayed with the smaller.
Yeah.
Going back to analog for a minute, you talked about pens, so Neuland pens and Staedtler fineliners. Is there mm-hmm. any paper or notebooks or anything like that which you prefer when you're doing sketchnoting? Do you do single sheets, just A4 paper? Or is there any what do you use those pens to draw on to make your sketch notes or visuals?
All right. So I love the paper from Fabriano Academia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Fabriano, yes.
I've owned a couple of their notebooks in the grid format, which I've used in the past.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. I really love the structure, and it's important for me that the paper is a little bit thicker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like about 120.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a minimum. And yeah, normally if I just want to scribble something quickly, A4 is absolutely all right.
Okay. So from a print, like you could take it out of your printer and scribble yeah. on this, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this Fabriano paper, do you like it with dot grid? Is it just plain? Like, is there a certain pattern that you like if you do like a pattern?
Yeah, I like the plain white one.
Okay, yeah, with a nice 120, so it holds. Nothing's going to bleed or fade through.
Yeah, absolutely.
In, mm-hmm. Unless you're using, you know, some like a Sharpie pen or something, alcohol, yeah. which will soak through.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, that's really great. And what about color? So you talked about Neuland, and if you do paper, would you just use color from Neuland for your colorization? Or do you have other markers or pencils or something else which you use coloring if you do that?
Oh, I also love to use the Copic markers
okay.
for coloring. I think they are really great for it, since the Neuland marker have a lot of edges. Like you can see all the edges if you color something. So, with Copics,
they blend together a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think, I would guess that, I think if I remember right, Copic is an alcohol-based marker. So I think that's part of the difference between the, water-based, which is most Neuland, and Copic. But the downside is then, you know, you have to have a sheet between your page, because the Copic can definitely bleed through the back and maybe even to the next page if
yeah,
you put,
true.
You know, heavy color. So again, it's, you know, what is the purpose? If it's just going to be the front sheet and you take a photo of it, then it's fine. So mm-hmm. Interesting. That's really good. So this brings me to the section about tips. And so I've given you this a little bit of a heads up so you can think of maybe some tips. Mm-hmm. The way I like to set it up for guests is, imagine there's someone listening. They're doing some kind of visualization, sketch notes, graphic recording, flip charts, something. They're excited mm-hmm. about it because they're listening to the show and they want to learn and hear your story. But they feel like mm-hmm. maybe the pandemic even has got them feeling like they're just kind of in the same pattern. They're not really going up or down. They're just in the same place. What would be mm-hmm. three things that you would tell them to maybe encourage them to start climbing again and to get even more excited than they are now?
So I think the first tip I would like to give is that visual thinking and visualization is a learning process. So it's so important to fall in love with a process.
Mm-hmm.
So all your failures are learnings. And secondly, it's so valuable that to invest into your skill set.
Mm.
So it's really worth the money to buy courses, buy brushes, and you will definitely benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the third one is that I guess it's really important to not only stay in the bubble of visualization, but also to look into other fields as marketing or HR, if you are working there and translate the content into pictures. It's quite interesting to also look into other fields.
Mm. Those are three really great tips. And, that third tip reminded me to ask a question that I didn't ask you earlier. And that was, how do you think your experience as a psychologist, I think? No, you said you're an HR in your past life. How has that benefited you in your visualization? Has it given you any special secret skills that you can understand more what people are saying or look underneath? So they say things, but maybe underneath it is what they really mean, right? Does it give you the ability to go under and see, like, what are some of the advantages that your background brings you as a visualizer?
I guess that visualization is kind of a language. So it's a really, it's a visual language, and it's a general language which everyone understand. Mm-hmm. And as a psychologist, you just try to understand other people, because everyone is in the middle of his or her system. Mm-hmm. And you have your own insight and your own opinions on the world. And having studied psychology really helped me to understand people and to translate this into pictures.
Okay. That's got to be a huge advantage, right? Because I think one of the things that I always say is the secret skill of sketchnoting is actually listening more than drawing. I think if you had someone who wasn't that good at drawing but was a good listener, you'll end up with a good sketch note. And I think sometimes I'll see, a beautiful drawing, but maybe it's just an illustration. It's not, the listening maybe wasn't behind it, right? So listening is definitely a key to a great sketch note. And I think you're sort of touching on all that psychology and HR focus has given you sort of a secret insight. I know we talked to Diana Soriat last season, and she said her background was in business, so she trained in business, and it really helped her because she can go into these meetings and be able to understand and translate the business concepts that they're talking about pretty easily because she's worked in that space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And knows how to visualize. So I would imagine the same for you with psychology and human resources, being able to do the same is sort of your secret weapon.
I think that listening is so important and also quite difficult. Like, try to listen a whole day and not to say any word. It will be quite difficult. And I guess that it's so important to understand that you and yourself is not the middle of the world. Like, it's not the most important thing. But everybody thinks that, right? So it's so important to understand others by asking questions.
I agree. I think that's what we're doing here, and it's fun to see like what's behind the person and give a little more depth, because one of the goals of the podcast is, so we see your work on Instagram or Twitter or wherever it is, and we have a sense of you, but it's only a very superficial sense, right? We see only what you decide to show, and maybe it's only business stuff. So hearing you speak and sort of understanding where you came from and what you think about and how you approach things and your background adds another level of depth. So when we see your work, like, oh, I see, she's understanding this because of all this background that she has and her approach and so forth, right? She loved comics as a kid, so now she's using these comic concepts to make her sketch notes or her graphic recording or infographics make more sense, right? So I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us, and I'd love for people to go and see your work. So what are the best places for people to find you? What's are there social media or a website or something that you could share? And we'll put all this in the show notes, of course, so people can find you.
So you can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Anne Bui, and on Instagram, my name is Anne Visual Thinking.
Okay, great. And we'll find those for you all who are listening and put links in the show notes. And from there, you can check out Anne's work and you can say hello if you like and make a connection. Her work is really wonderful. She's got a great style, and I think you'll really appreciate it when you see her work. So thank you, Anne, for making time to be on the show and to share about yourself and help us to learn more about you.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's so good to have a new voice. And for everyone who's listening to the show, this will wrap another episode of the Sketchnote Army podcast. Until next episode, talk to you soon. The Sketchnote Army podcast was created by me, Mike Rohde, and brought to you by Rodesign Studios. It's produced and edited by Alec Polianis of Amp Creative Studios. The theme music was created by John Schiedemeyer. To support the creation of this show, I invite you to buy one of my books, the Sketchnote Handbook or the Sketchnote Workbook. You can find the books on Amazon or go to peachpit.com and use the code RODY40 for 40% off. Please share this podcast with other visual thinking friends and be sure to leave a nice rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast listening app so others can find the show.